Hi, it's David Oakes. Glad you tuned in to Visionary Fundraising today. We're going to be talking about why do people give you money? Why do people give to you? This is another great day for you to have tuned in. Stay tuned. Fundraisers struggle to find the strategies and the confidence they need to see their mission fully funded. I help fundraisers lean into their visionary capacity, say thank you, tell stories, and get happy all the way to the bank. Stay tuned for today's show. Today's show is brought to you by the book, Visionary Fundraising. Stop chasing, start attracting the money you need. For over a year, I've dedicated myself to writing down everything you need to be challenged to in order to double, triple, quadruple, and more the income that you receive as a visionary. You can buy my book today at Amazon.com for $19.99, or for you digital readers, got a good deal for you. Go click the link in the show notes, go to my website, and you can buy the digital version for $4.99. Stop chasing, start attracting the money you need. Why do people give to you? I've often said that, selfishly speaking, for humanity, one of the most unnatural things for people to do is to give their hard-earned money to you. And yet, they do. Through history, people have given. They have impacted humanity because of the money they gave. They left the world they found in a better place. Why do they do it? I'm reading through the book Mega Gifts by Gerald Panis, and I'm going to be taking a lot of the ideas that he posits through the book. It's an amazing book, Mega Gifts. Who gives them? Who gets them? Revised and updated, second edition by Gerald Panis. It is an amazing book. And so as I read through it, I'm going to share with you some of the thoughts that he gives, add my own to it, and then you and I are going to be better off for having dug in and learned more. Why do people give? Jerry has done in-depth interviews with close to 50 men and women who have made gifts of $1 million or more, and some have given many, many gifts at the million-dollar level. And then he went and surveyed nearly 1,000 fundraisers who have solicited and grabbed these gifts. And then he synthesizes in this book called Mega Gifts why he just synthesizes his thoughts and observations and helps us to understand why, who gives to us and why do they do it? And of course, the goal is to challenge ourselves to think smarter, work harder, to plan bolder, and to commit ourselves with fervor and missionary zeal to the needs of our mission and vision, our organization. Now, Jerry has interviewed a lot of people who have given million-dollar gifts, but he's quick to say in the beginning that these principles are every bit as relevant for $100 donors. So as we read through the book, these are the reasons why people give $1 million, multi-million-dollar gifts, and the same reasons that your donors give you $25, $50, $100, $500, and $1,000. They're all the same. They're all the same. So let's just read a few stories that Jerry gives here in the book. He talks about Julius Rosenwald's fortunes. Rose from meager resources to unimaginable riches, and how by accident, Rosenwald became a partner and major stockholder in Sears Roebuck. He quickly bought out his brother-in-law for a pittance, took control of the company, and he grew the company to an estimated 100 million. All that in 7 years. And then Jerry points out that would equate to about $300 billion today. He was a remarkable man. He didn't think anything about building very expensive tennis courts on the grounds of any of his homes. But if you played tennis with him, he refused to buy tennis balls, almost as though he were a miser. If you play tennis, you had to bring the balls. He wouldn't buy tennis balls. He had odd spending habits, but Julius loved to give money away. Julius had a passion for giving money away. He wouldn't buy tennis balls for you to come play with him on his tennis court, but he would give away millions. And the recipients were poor people. He had a special concern for the deplorable condition of young blacks in the South. And he set about to build what became as Rosenwald schools. All told, he helped and built over 5,000 schools, shops, housing units all through the South. He built 100 YMCAs for black folks. He did scholarship assistance and fellowships, all for black people. He could have been considered a miser if you come to play tennis with him, but he gave away millions to the underserved. John D. Rockefeller is another person. In his lifetime, he contributed more money than any other individual on earth. Nobody knows the exact amount, but we assume it's in excess of $600 million. What motivated him to give? You know, for John D., he was a tither. Even as a teenager, when he had very little money, at times he was virtually penniless, but he always gave away 1/10 of his income. So John D. Rockefeller was a tither from his youth. And some people say that maybe he gave because he had a health scare and the doctor recommended that he had to drink acidulated milk and crackers. And for the next 70 years, that was his diet. And at that point, some people think that he became committed to give instead of just consume. He would have his servant fill his pockets every morning with 50 dimes just so that he could give them away to strangers as he walked to work. And on some occasions, he changed those dimes to silver dollars. His giving was ceaseless. He never stopped giving to countless institutions and organizations. What makes people give their money away? What makes people give their money to you? There are a lot of reasons, and over the next few shows, we're going to look at the reasons. Why would someone give money to you? Why would they do it? Well, sometimes it's easy to say, well, because they have it. But a lot of people who support us don't have it. You know, some of the most amazing, powerful gifts, they're not large, but they come from widows and widowers who just as soon as their Social Security check comes, it's the first thing they do is write out that check to your mission and to your organization. Alex Spanos, just mentioned his name. He's a man of strong feelings. He's got an opinion on just about everything. One of the largest apartment builders in the world. He's considered to be one of the wealthiest Greeks in the United States. And he talked to Gerald in this book about how he was asked to give $1 million for an alcoholic treatment center. If he gave, they told him, they would put his name on the treatment center. Well, that was good, except for one thing. Spanos had no interest in the project. He told Jerry, none at all. He said, I know there's a need, especially in that area, but for one thing, I don't drink. Alcoholism just doesn't speak to me. I'm not passionate about helping them. So they asked him for $1 million. He gave a gift, not $1 million. He gave a $250,000 and he said, y'all take this money, build your hospital and name it after Betty Ford. They did. And he goes on to say, I don't give. Now, here is one of the reasons why people give their money to you. Spanos goes on to say, I never give because I think there's a need. There's lots of needs. Needs are everywhere in the world. I give because it's a program I'm interested in, and I think I can make a real difference. Here's one of the reasons people give. They're interested and they care for whatever reasons. That's your place as a fundraiser, is to get in and listen to them and ask them, have you given in the past? Hey, you give us some money. I'm sure there are other organizations you give to. What are they? And can you tell me why you give to them? And you're going to find that that donor is not giving to all those organizations or to you. They're actually giving to their values. They have values that they give to. They just happen to be giving to those organizations who well represent their values. So on this show, there's one reason why people give to help you is you demonstrate their deeply held values. That's why I challenge organizations. You ought to get together. Your board should help you to bubble up, refine, somehow get to the bottom of a small handful of values that your organization stands for. Get everybody in the room and just begin. Hey, write all the values we stand. You'd have a bunch. Hey, can we bubble them down to 20? Oh, out of that, can we bubble them down to 10? Maybe you'll have 10, but I wonder, can you bubble them down to fewer than that? The fewer that you have, the more articulate you can be in talking about that value. Is there one word that really speaks to multiple of those words, and you can replace those 10 with one? You want to make sure you're very clear on the values of your organization. Why? Because people don't give to you. They give to the values that they hold dear and that you represent. That's an amazing thing. Jerry goes on. We'll talk about this point and then we'll end for the show and pick up where we left off on the next show. Jerry goes on to say, other individuals give because they believe they have a responsibility to give because they have so much. Cyril Magnin, Gerald interviewed her, who single-handedly built the 32 store chain. Jay Magnin said, great wealth carries great responsibility, a duty. I don't have as much money as others, but what I do have, I give away. I've received so much, so very much, and this is a way of helping pay it back. Magnin then stopped. There was a long pause, Jerry says, that seemed like minutes. At last, she looked at me, eyes moist. I have been very fortunate in my life, ultra lucky. I feel everyone should give back a good portion of what they receive. So other donors give because they feel like they're responsible to do it because they've been given so much. You know, if you understand this, when you meet with people with wealth, people who have extra, way more extra than what they need, when you meet with them, understand they want to give. They want to give probably worse than you want to receive it. If you can believe that, they want to give. They need to give. And they're looking for those folks, those organizations that'll have a relationship with them and demonstrate their values so clearly that they'll give and feel great about it. Virginia Piper, Gerald interviews her. She continued her husband's philanthropy. Her husband founded Motorola. She was determined to do good. She learned a lot from her husband's giving before she took over. But then she says, again, to our previous point, she says, he felt that what he had on earth, my husband made all this money, he felt he had been entrusted to, this had been entrusted to him by God. He felt the responsibility. He was committed to repaying God's gift. I feel the same way, that I've been put here to use the money I have available to do the best work I can. So there's two reasons. The last one is people give because they feel they have a duty. So when you meet with people, just realize often there is this feeling they may, especially if they have a lot of money, if they have a lot of money, they will live with this responsibility, this divine responsibility, this responsibility they feel the universe brought to them. They live with that and they are hoping, some of them are on their knees praying, "Dear God, send me the right people and the right needs that you want me to give money to today." So when you meet with people, don't grovel, don't apologize. Take the time to find out what their values are, and then do your values align? Ask them if they would be interested in giving to your organization. Ask them if they'd be interested to give it to your, to their values through your organization. And then ask largely, shut your mouth and let them talk. Okay, that's enough for our show today. Don't forget who you are. You're a visionary. You're amazing. You are incredible. You were put here to leave the world you found in a much better place. You are occupying a divine role in history. I believe that with all my heart. What you do is special. Don't forget how special you are. See you next time.